from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Before I begin today, if you have a pen, or if you can make them, if you don't have a pen, a mental note, I'd like for you on the outside of your bulletin to draw an arrow straight down. An arrow straight down, put the little gizzy on the bottom so you remember it's going straight down. A line straight down. It'll make sense in a bit. Today is Reformation. It's about marking a singular historical event. Martin Luther, an Augustinian monk, challenged his colleagues to a conversation about 95 topics that he wanted to have in conversation with folks. He was troubled by them. And so on the eve of All Saints' Day, All Hallows' Eve, October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther posted those 95 topics of conversation, they're called the 95 Theses, on the door of the castle church, the city church, excuse me, in Wittenberg, Germany. It was that day the beginning of the Reformation. It took some years to take shape, but it was also out of that event that followed, and those events that followed it, that the Lutheran Church was born. Today, 496 years later, we Lutherans are part of the largest Protestant community of faith in the world, who claim to be Lutherans. But for those of you who didn't grow up in the Lutheran Church, when Lutherans gather for Reformation, when we invite people to wear red and talk about all this Luther stuff, it can sometimes feel like you're in a stranger's house. You don't know the inside jokes. You don't have a clue who Lena and Sven are. They speak a language often that is unfamiliar. Their table manners are different. They eat food and have customs and relate to each other in a totally foreign kind of way. It can be very uncomfortable. If we're doing that to anyone here today, if we as a Lutheran community have ever done that to you, I can only say to you, we did something terribly wrong. You have needed to know who we are beneath all of this Luther stuff. And so the question, who are we? Lutherans are a community of believers called together with a splash of water at our baptism, called by God, part of the whole church, God's people with a mission, a common mission, called out to share the good news of Jesus with the world. As Lutherans, we are a church that embraces a loving and graceful God who in Jesus Christ loves even the most difficult of sinners, who proclaims forgiveness and new life in Jesus' name. The defining word for us as Lutherans is grace. God's free gift of unlimited love, given without our asking and given without our deserving it. Kelly Fryer, in her book Reclaiming the L Word, tells about her first year in seminary on a particularly wonderful warm spring day, and she was spending more time looking outside and thinking about how wonderful it would be to be outside than sitting in what she had determined was a very boring lecture. The professor must have known that most of the class was not with him at all, and so he slammed his notebook closed and he stopped talking. And before he left the room in a huff, he picked up a piece of chalk. He went to the board and he drew a gigantic arrow pointing down. And then he said to them, "If you understand that, you will understand everything you need to know about what it means to be a Christian who happens to be a Lutheran." And then he left the room. The class sat stunned as they looked at the arrow. They were convinced, given what had happened, that the professor thought they were all going to hell. The next time the class met, she said, He went to the board and drew that same arrow. Needless to say, he had their full attention. And he said to them, here's what this means. God always comes down. There is never anything we can ever do to turn that arrow around and make our way up to God. God came down in Jesus, and God still comes down in the bread and in the wine and in the water and in the fellowship of believers. God always comes down. That, my friends, is what we call grace. Lutherans, you see, are God's people gathered around grace. Lutherans are as comfortable in the cathedrals of Europe and in the state churches of Scandinavia as they are in house churches in Russia, as they are in the rapidly growing faith communities of Africa, in small rural churches on the prairie of this country, in huge suburban churches and inner city ministries, all, everyone, Lutheran, all committed to making Jesus known, basking in this grace of God. Lutherans are a magnificent tapestry of races, nationalities, languages, and customs, all woven together in that common thread of grace. God comes down. And we gather for worship in a variety of stalls and styles, keeping the best of tradition with a focus on word and sacrament, but meeting a diversity of the gathered community with worship that calls each and every person to meet God where God already is as they offer up their praise and thanksgiving. Each one of those communities sings its own song as they worship. What I think is really exciting about us Lutherans is that we are often in the first wave of trucks and caravans and cargo planes responding to a crisis around the world to bring food and clothing and shelter and medical and spiritual assistance to millions. Around the world, we set up hospitals and caring facilities and social service ministries, each and every one out front meeting the daily needs of God's people. We feed people. We care for refugees. We dig freshwater wells. We teach people to farm and to fish, to be whole and to be healthy. What defines us even more than any of those things is that we are a people grounded in the Word. It was the Word embedded in the Holy Scriptures which gave rise to the Reformation itself. It was the Word which fueled the winds of change that swept over that world in the 16th century. It was the Word from Paul's letter to the Romans that we heard today that fanned that wind of change. We are saved, Paul said. We are saved by grace through faith. You see, it's about God coming down. That Word, as fresh today as it was then, it's that Word that brings us together. It's that Word that defines our life and our ministry as a community of faith. You see, whenever we gather as Christians who happen to be Lutheran, our conversation about Reformation ought to be more than historical. It ought to be timely and rich and truthful. Questions ought to come on this day of Reformation. Did the Reformation just happen in the 16th century? Or is the church in need of Reformation today? Is it the church who needs to be reformed, or is it us who need to be reformed? You see, Reformation isn't something stuck in history, but it's an ongoing, not one-shot deal. I think the Old Testament prophet knew it. He said, we heard today, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. If you take a minute to think about the time and the place when Jeremiah spoke those words. Morality was in shambles. Politicians and rulers were answering to their greed for power and gain. Armies were marching against each other, destroying and killing. Life of faith was in constant peril from institutions, religious and secular, all more interested in self-preservation than in an authentic life of faith. Sound familiar? Jeremiah's words, as contemporary today as they were then. He had a vision for a better time when God would do a radical new thing. He said, God will write the law on their hearts. It will no longer be a relationship of distance, but an intimate knowing. An intimate knowing of God and of God's will for God's people. God would speak and they would listen. It would be a new era, he says, for those who were faithful followers, because they would know God and have God's word written on their hearts. Did you notice in that text who writes on their hearts? God writes on their hearts. God comes down. In the gospel reading today, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Reformation continues to see, written on our hearts, knowing the truth, being made free indeed. But the Reformation is in the word. It's God's action. God coming down to us and then through us reforming not only ourselves, but also the church. Someone wrote these words, speak to us, God, not just through the layers of tradition, not in the voices of great theologians and pastors of the past, not in the official statements of our churches, not in the voices of what everyone thinks, but speak to us face to face, person to person. Let your word have fresh access, direct access to the wholeness of our being. Enable us to open ourselves uncluttered in mind, disrobed in our spirits, unprotected, vulnerable to your loving grace. If that could happen, my friends, and by God's grace we have to believe that it can, then the Reformation didn't stop in the 16th century. It continues in and through us. So with open hearts and receptive minds and lives who are willing to be servants of Jesus, we can be set free to be a reforming presence in the world, in our own relationships, in our community, and in our own lives. Things don't have to stay the way they are or even were. The great power of the reforming word is that in it we are set free. Set free from that which would say, well, that's the way it's always been. It'll never change. Teenage daughter of a divorced couple was giving her mother, whom she stayed with, a very hard time. It finally culminated late one night when the police called the mother to tell her that she needed to come to the police station and pick up her daughter. She'd been arrested for drunk driving. She went to the police station and picked up her daughter, and they drove home in silence and didn't speak until the following afternoon. Mom broke the tension by giving her daughter a small gift box. And her daughter nonchalantly opened it and found in that box a small piece of rock. Her daughter rolled her eyes and said, cute, Mom, what's this for? Here's the card, her mother responded. The daughter took the card out of the envelope and started to read. As she read, tears began to well in her eyes, and soon a torrent of tears soaked her cheeks. She got up, ran into her mother's arms as the card and rock fell to the ground. You see, the card read, this rock is more than 200 million years old. That's how long it will take before I give up on you. God comes down. Words written on our hearts, emblazoned on our forehead in the sign of our baptismal cross. The word which Scripture promises will never return empty. A word that shapes and molds and changed and reforms us. And as we are reformed, so also our word. You see, my friends, it's in the word, a splash of water, a bit of bread, a bit of wine. God comes down. It's all about grace. All about grace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.